message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh, glory, glory, glory. Gracious God, our Father, thank you now as we turn our attention to your word. Lord, speak to our hearts. Let the power of your spirit move and minister unto us. Let him teach us as he is our teacher. Let him reveal the truths, the principles of your word, that we might practice them, God, that we might profit from them and be ever so careful to give you the praise for them. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God shouted, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It's a very familiar verse of Scripture. And I want you all to read it together, if you don't mind, this morning. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, begin reading now.
Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence. Amen, amen. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. What a powerful word. It is our desire that we understand this truth before us today so that the believers can function and flow in this truth that Jesus has spoken today. Most of you know this story. Jesus is going to Bethany and he's coming back the next day. The day before, he had gone to a fig tree that had plenty of leaves on it. And he was hungry with his disciples. And he got to the tree and he didn't find any figs. Jesus then cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was unproductive. And because it had leaves that suggest that fruit was on the tree. And so he said, you won't, in essence, fool anybody ever again. The next day they're coming back, Peter saw the tree dried up from its roots. And he called, the Bible says he put Jesus in remembrance. See, that's one of the things I think we need to learn, how to put God in remembrance of his word. That says to the Lord that you are so attuned to his word that you are, not that God has forgotten, but that you have remembered. And because Peter remembered what the Lord had done the day before, he calls the Lord's attention to the results. Well, Jesus hadn't paid any attention to the fig tree drying up today, because in his mind, when he spoke it, it was good as dead and dried up then. See, that's the difference between believers and those who are waiting to see it happen. Jesus spoke with such authority that he never looked at the fig tree again, but Peter did. And Peter says that, and Jesus says to him in verse 22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now I need you to help me preach this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, have faith in God. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, have faith in God. Now stop talking to everybody else and tell yourself, self, have faith in God. Now we got all grounds covered. All grounds covered. See, you can't do much in the kingdom of God without having God on your side and believing in what God said. So Jesus tells them to have faith in God. And then he goes to give them in verse 23 an illustration. He says, paraphrase, if you tell this mountain to be removed from where it is to go jump in the sea, and you believe in your heart that that's going to happen, anything you say will happen for you. Listen at this now. Jesus is saying that you have the power to speak authoritatively that things that are in your life that shouldn't be there can be removed by the power of your words. Listen, if you have faith in God. See, it's all of the faith in God that calls you to speak the God kind of faith, to speak with the authority of God, knowing that these things are going to line up because God is under warrant to back up what he said, and you believe God has to operate according to his word. So that's important for us to realize, because if we don't realize the fact that we have to have faith in God and God is going to do what he said, then nothing we say will come to pass as relates to the things of faith. So a lot of folk, you can go around naming it and claiming it and speaking it and decreeing it and all the rest of that. But if you don't have faith in God, none of that will come to pass. It's just religious words. They must be faith-filled words. fulfilled words. And then Jesus said, now if you believe that, therefore I say unto you, those things whatsoever ye desire. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me I don't have to just have needs, I can have desires?
All right.
He didn't say whatsoever things ye need. See, because some of the believers think God don't give you what you want, he give you what you need.
Uh-huh.
That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. Listen, the Bible says what things soever ye desire. Desire. Now, there are a whole lot of things that you desire you don't have. The question is why? Why don't you have what you desire? The Bible says, what things, listen, it's open-ended. He did not close it in and say, what spiritual things? He didn't close it in and say, only the things of health, only the things of salvation, only the things. He says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray. Now, how many of you know there's power in prayer?
Amen.
Prayer truly changes things, and it changes us. It changes conditions. It changes situations. It changes atmospheres. Prayer has the power to totally rearrange everything according to your faith. So when you pray, when you communicate with God, and that's exactly what you're doing in prayer, then it's not you turning things around. It's the faith you have in God. When you pray, he turns things around. But you are articulating to God what you desire or what you need when you pray. Matthew 6 tells us God already knows what you have need of.
Uh-huh.
You are not bringing God up to date. There is no, flash, news report, no interruption of life. You need this. God knew you needed that before you ever opened your mouth about it. But he also says for you to ask, for you to seek, for you to knock. You have a participatory part to play in the answer to your prayer. Now listen at this. I want to show you, because here's where it starts to get deeper for you. Because there are three things in this verse that I want to pull out again for you. I've taught this, I've ministered this before, but I just want to hopefully massage it into your spirit so that you really start to relax and get this deep in your spirit, man. Listen, it says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray. What's the next word?
Believe.
Notice he doesn't say believing. And I want to pause there for a moment, because this first word here that we're going to look at is connected with faith. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Believe has to do with faith finished on the subject. In other words, by the time you pray to God, you should have already worked out all your doubts. And you've got it settled. It's non-discussable, non-debatable. It is conclusive. It is concrete. I've made up my mind. I'm not turning around. I'm expecting this without any wavering. God knows I know that this is where I am, and I'm not moving forward, nor backwards, nor to the side. I'm staying right here till he bless me.
Amen.
Believe. believe. Believe means in this connotation that you have worked out your doubts, you have worked out your fears, you've worked out your inhibitions, you've worked out all of the stuff that you vacillate back and forward about. So now that you put prayer to it, you've already got it concluded. You just now putting it in the hands of God, and you believe it's on the way because it has left your hands and entered into God's. Believe. Faith. This is faith talk now. Now, if it's illogical to you to believe something, when the question becomes, if you don't believe it when you pray, when are you going to believe it? Are you going to have to see it first for you to believe? Because if you see it first, then it didn't take no belief. It's already manifested, produced. It's in your face. A fool don't have to believe. It's right there. All he can do is see. But when you believe, you have already finish this issue of thinking about all that is surrounding and connected with it. You are just waiting on the manifestation of that. May not come today, may not come tomorrow, but I believe, not believing. I'm believing God. No, wait, you believing? Well, you asked him already? Yes, well then that's the problem there. Because here's the point. You should have believed and finished that when you prayed and asked him for that. Believing suggests that you can be turned around, that you are wavering, that you still don't know whether or not he's going to do it. And see, that's where the devil enters in at and causes all of the doubt. That's where the devil comes in at and steals your joy and takes your peace. Because you've not told him, devil, that's a finished issue already. It's no longer him. I can't change it if I want to. It's already on the way back. That's mine. I believe God for that. And so the reality is my faith is standing up to the test of that thing being materialized in my life. Faith. Believe. Faith. That's all connected together. I cannot believe without faith. And if I have faith, I believe. I believe. Now listen to this. Believe, and what happens after that? Believe, and what? Believe, one more time.
That you receive them.
Believe that
you
receive them. So now, when I pray, I believe I receive them. Now, after I have faith, this is what the word is telling me to do. Focus. Focus. I believe, that's faith. I receive them. That's focus. So if I receive them, focus, I'm looking for them. I'm focusing on them because I believe I receive them. If I don't know that I receive it, I'm not looking for it. That's why I'm looking for a miracle every day. Why? Because God will make a way out of no way. I'm not going to do it. God's going to do it. Every day, many times a day. I believe that. It's not just a song to me. It's a reality. And so because of that, I expect to be blessed. I expect to be highly favored. I expect doors to be opened up for me. I expect the blessings of the Lord to overtake me. I expect things to happen without me having to ask for them. I expect to be in the restaurant and somebody pay for my ticket. Y'all not hearing me. I expect people to walk up and put money in my hand. I expect all of that because I've sown the seeds and done the things and believe that I received these things and they have. Matter of fact, I ain't got to be believing no more. They just happened because I'm looking for them to. I receive them. I focus on the receiving. I don't focus on the asking no more. Asking for what? I've already asked. I've already registered my complaint. I've already registered my desire. Now I'm just waiting on it. I'm waiting on it. Let me tell you. So if you focus, that includes the mind. Let me tell you two functions, just two functions of the mind. Two great functions of the mind, and they're right here in this verse. One is memory. And the other is imagination. Memory and imagination. They're right here in the verse. Because what I need to remember is that I've already asked him for it. Jesus was put in remembrance of his word by Peter. So memory needs to make sure that I remember to remember to tell God what he said. In other words, I need to take God's word and bring it back to God's remembrance. Not that he's forgotten, but that he knows I hadn't forgotten. And so memory is for recall. Listen, but imagination is for creativity. So I use his word and remember what he said. What did he say? That I can speak those things that be not as though they were. So now I'm using the creativity of my mind. I'm thinking about what I desire. Lord, I wish I had some believers in the house. I start thinking with his word that I have the ability to have this, to speak this. He just told me whatsoever things I desire when I pray, I believe, and I shall have them. I know this because the creative part of my mind is the resemblance of what I got from him, made in his image and in his likeness. I have the ability to create too. As a matter of fact, when I put those two together, memory and imagination, I've got, listen, a review for memory and preview for imagination. I review his word and remember I'm all of that in him. I'm more than a conqueror. I remember everything he told me about myself. And then my creative part begins to draw in my own mind, seeing my own self. I begin to get a healthy self-image, a healthy self-portrait. I begin to think like he thinks about me. I get a preview of what is to come because I know I'm a child of the Most High God. And I shall have those things that I say. See, a whole lot of us know how to use review, but we don't know how to use preview. And so we're stuck in a rut. If you can have whatsoever you desire and you can't come up with nothing, and you still stuck in the rut you in, ain't nobody's fault but yours. Nobody's fault but yours. So you have to focus on what you want. Create a picture in your mind of you being blessed. Create a picture in your mind of you being the CEO. Create a picture in your mind of you driving that new car. I said in your mind, not somebody else's mind. Create in your mind. You know, I have a deep affinity for anything with a motor. Motor cars, motor bikes, motor boats, motors, you know. And I had one particular it was a Carmagia. And a friend of mine told me, he said, man, I don't like them little cars. I said, that's why it's in my driveway, not yours. I don't care that you don't like it. That's what I like. I'm trying to help somebody here. Your creativity is based upon your desire, not somebody else's desire. Stop letting folk tell you what you like and what you want, what you don't like, and what you don't want. Get in touch with the reality of your own desires according to the Word of God. What is it that you want? You've got to focus on, get a picture of it in your mind. Get a picture of it. Preview it.
All
right. Listen, if you got one, if somebody else got one like that, take a picture of it. Uh-huh. Hanging up on your wall. All
right.
Preview it.
Uh-huh.
Right. This is going to be mine one day.
All
right. And you start putting a picture of it. I mean, whatever it is, you've got to understand, you limit you. Not anybody else. You limit you. Now listen to this, because we're dealing with your faith and your focus, but it's all in your future. Future is the last word. And ye shall have them. What would your future look like if what you imagine, you shall have it? I can tell right now that some of y'all ain't got no kind of imagination. My goodness, and ye shall have them. I might not have it today, but in my future, I shall have them. All the things that I desire according to the Word of God and putting God in remembrance of His Word, I remind Him, and then I get a preview of what I want, and I put it out before Him, and I believe it's coming, and I know I shall have them. Man, I start thinking of the things that I know will be a blessing. And it may not be today, but it's coming in my future. It's coming before I leave planet Earth. I know it's going to be a part of my future. I don't care what your past look like, what it's been like, how far down it's been, how far wrong it's been. You can change what has been because of the power of your mouth and your mind and faith in God in your future. You might have been messed up. You might have been torn down. You might have been kicked to the side, kicked to the curb, kicked down. You might have been all of those things in the past, but I got news for you. It don't last. You see another future. You see you being the head, not the tail. You see you being above and not beneath. You see you being blessed in the city and in the field. You see you being more than a conqueror. You see you being a winner in your future. You may be sick now, but in your future, you see health and wholeness.
Thank you, Lord.
What do you see?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Uh-huh.
For your future? May I say this? That no matter what has happened in your past, and I'm going to tell you this is going to be mind-blowing, so get ready.
All right.
No matter what has happened in your past, God has blessed you to put it behind you. Now, whether you decide to live in the past or live now for the future. In other words, what I say today is going to shape my tomorrow. What I think today